Hi, and welcome to our service. If you're new here, you may be wondering who we are and what this church is all about. Well, the heart of the matter is this. We're a group of people doing our best to love God and love those around us. One of the ways we express this love is through worship, because our God is truly amazing. He created everything, great and small, and His love for us is incredible, powerful, and completely unconditional. We also spend time looking into His Word, the Bible, and receive practical teaching to guide us along His path in our everyday lives. But it doesn't end when the service is over. Throughout the week, we gather in groups to serve, pray, reach out to our community, and sometimes just to hang out and have fun. Life is full of challenges, and none of us are perfect. But we believe that's one of the reasons God has brought us together. We're all here to help and support each other through each step of life's journey, because nobody should have to travel alone. So thanks for joining us today. No matter who you are, we want you to know you are welcome.
Good morning, His Tabernacle Family Church. How are you doing this morning? All right, are you ready to praise the Lord? Come on and stand up. You know, the word says that we enter His courts with thanksgiving and we enter His courts with praise. We don't get into His presence by telling Him our problems, right? We don't get into His presence by telling Him our complaints or how we're feeling today. Oh, woe is me. No, we call Him good and we praise His name. Amen. Why don't you just lift your hands with me and just start telling Him how amazing He is. That's all that praise is, right? There's nothing complicated about it. We're gonna praise God this morning, amen? Come on, let me see you clap. And just say, thank you, Jesus. Come on, it's the most powerful thing you can do is thank Him for salvation. Thank Him for the miracles you're already expecting. You've been so good. You've been so good. I thank you, Lord. I thank you. My heart is full. My heart is full. I love you, Lord. I love you. Come on. You've been so good. You've been so good. I thank you, Lord. I thank you. My heart is full. My heart is full. I love you, Lord. I love you.
You've been so good.
You so good. I thank you, Lord. I thank you.
My heart is full.
My heart is full. I love you, Lord. One more time. You've been so good.
You've been so good. You've been so good.
My heart is full, my heart is full. I love you, Lord, I love you. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Come on, clap.
Thank you, Lord, for saving me.
Oh, my soul cries hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord, for saving me.
Say thank you, Lord,
for saving me.
Thank you, Lord. Jesus. Hallelujah. All right, this song is new, but don't worry about it. All of it is call and response, so you shouldn't get too lost. You might not even need to look up at the lyrics. I just want to see you clap a little bit. I feel like we're a little stiff this morning. Can we just like, here we go. Yeah. A little bit side to side. Can you do this? There we go. Thank you, Pastor. All right, repeat after me.
You are Alpha and Omega.
You are Alpha and Omega.
You're the beginning and the end.
You're the beginning and the end.
You're the same yesterday, today, and forever.
You're the same yesterday, today, and forever.
And I'll praise,
I'll praise
your name.
Your name.
You are Alpha and Omega.
You are Alpha and Omega.
There you go.
Omega.
You're the beginning and the end.
You're the beginning and the end.
You're the same yesterday, today, and forever.
You're the same yesterday, today, and forever.
And I'll praise,
I'll praise your name.
Beginning and the end.
You're the beginning and the end.
You're the same yesterday, today, and forever.
You're the same yesterday, today, and forever.
And I'll praise,
I'll praise your name.
Your name. I'll praise,
I'll praise your, name.
Your name.
You are Alpha and Omega.
You are Alpha and Omega.
You're the beginning and the end.
You're the beginning and the end.
You're the same yesterday, today, and forever.
And I'll praise,
I'll praise
your name.
I'll praise
your name.
seconds. Give them all you've got. I want to explain something really quick, is that the word hallelujah sounds like a good word to use in church, right? But it's so much more important than that. Hallelujah means the highest praise. And what does that mean? That means that I could walk up to any of you in here and say, hey, good job, thumbs up, bro. Or I could say, oh, high five, you did really well with that. But I'm not going to give you my hallelujah because that's the highest praise. And that goes to the Most High God, amen? We don't give anyone else as much praise as we give to Jesus. He's on the throne. And when we can say, my hallelujah, my highest praise belongs to you, that means we're putting him on the throne. And that's the smartest decision you could ever make. So I want you to go ahead and raise your hands and just tell Jesus, my hallelujah, my highest praise belongs to you and no one else. Come on, just continually say that, my hallelujah belongs to you and no one else.
begin to worship him today. Just talk to your Father today. Just tell him how much you love him. If you don't have anything else to say, sing hallelujah, Father. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God.
Lost, but now.
Jesus, we worship you. We thank you, Jesus, for all you've done in our lives. God, it amazes us that while we were still sinners, you died for us. God, when we were living the lives of sin and just doing whatever we wanted to do, Lord Jesus, you wanted us so badly that you came after us. For we can't even want you unless we're drawn. We thank you that we did not choose you, but you chose us. And that today, God, you've got a dynamic plan for our life. But Lord, before that, we just want to say, we couldn't do anything without you. We need you, Jesus. You are our life. You are our breath. And without you, God, we can't even imagine where we'd be. How many of you remember when you were lost? Remember when you were not serving Jesus? How many of you lived like a real hellish life? I mean, bad, bad to the bone. How many of you lived a life that was, you know, not horrible? You weren't like really evil, but you really needed some help. Amen. You were lost. How many of you were the church kids that grew up in church? You knew you were going to hell right out of the bat. Amen. Fact is, it doesn't matter whether you are like super evil or a church kid, the wages of sin is death. And without Jesus, we could not be saved. So now I don't know about you. You know, I thank God that we remember where we came from. Real bad or not as bad, but the same blood changes our lives. Amen. Aren't you glad? Can you give Jesus a hand clap this morning? Start thanking him for the soul, your soul, where he brought you from. Amen. He brought you. And I got to say one more thing. Last Sunday, 14 people were reconciled to Christ. The week before that, I believe there were like 12, Wiz Mindy, 12 people that made sure their lives were right with Christ. That's 2 weeks right here in this building. That's 26. And on Friday night, down in Scranton with the one-night uproar, 20 young people gave their hearts to Jesus Christ. 46 people have given their heart to the Lord in 2 weeks because God loves people. Amen. Can you give God a hand clap for the souls that were saved? Hallelujah. Thank you for changing lives, Jesus. Thank you for changing us. Can you do me a favor? Can you go around on your way back to your chair and say, oh, by the way, I was lost, but now I'm found. Come on, go find somebody you don't know and say, I've been found. I've been found. Come on, tell somebody. Yes, you have. Come on, find somebody. Tell them. Come on, turn to the person behind you and say, good morning. I was lost, but now I'm found. Come on, tell somebody behind you. Get to meet somebody this morning. You got a minute, 20 seconds to be friendly. We'll be right back.
it is time to settle on into your seats and pay attention to the announcements that are up and coming.
If you would like to sign up, you can do so out in the information center in the foyer, or you can sign up at histabernacle.com/baptisms. If you haven't gotten baptized before, this is a great opportunity for you to further your relationship with Jesus and go to that next level. It completely changed my life, and it can change yours too.
It was so unfortunate that we had to postpone our special service with Pastor Rick Shelton due to the snowstorm from a few weeks back. But we're so happy to announce that on February 24th, we were able to reschedule him for him to be here with us for one special service at 10 a.m. We cannot wait for you to receive the blessing of his ministry, the impartation of the anointing on his life, and the call of God on his life. He has traveled the world. He has preached to the nations. He has pastored some of the greatest leaders of our time, and he wants to come and to impart into you and I. So remember, February 24th, one service. We cannot wait to celebrate with you.
Good morning, His Tabernacle Family Church. It's always awesome when we come together in the presence of God to watch Him move in power. How many of you came here expecting God to move in your life? And you were able to enter into the presence of God. When we come in with an expectant heart, God moves. There was this amazing people group in the Word of God called the Sons of Issachar, and they had the supernatural ability to recognize times and seasons. And the season that we're in right now is a season of acceleration. How many of you are ready for some breakthrough, some accelerated breakthrough in your walk? And what that requires is for us to step in, to press in a way that we haven't done before. So I just want to decree and declare over every person that is in this place and everyone that's listening on live stream that there will come a new zeal for Christ over you in a way that you've never experienced before, that you will go to bed just thinking about God and thinking of His Word and marinating in His Spirit, and that you'll even wake up in the middle of the night with His Word upon your tongue and on your mind, and that when you wake up in the morning, that the Word will be the first thing that you're after, and that you will truly seek to be in His presence. Pastor Andre, I've heard her say several times that increased obedience produces accelerated harvest. And that is this season that we are in. So you have an opportunity to plug into all of the things that we have available here at His Tabernacle. In this season, do not miss one opportunity, not one, to get a hold of everything that God has for you. If you are a visitor in this house, we'd like to welcome you and ask you to raise your hand. We have a gift for you that we would love to give you. Just keep your hand nice and high. Directly after service, we are going to have a guest reception on this side of the building. Our pastors and staff are there because we would love to be able to develop a relationship with you and talk to you a little bit more about all of the opportunities that His Tabernacle has for you to grow in your relationship with Jesus. We also would like to let you know that next Sunday is baptism service. And when we're talking about stepping in this season and wanting accelerated harvest, maybe baptism is something that you've never done, or it's been many years since you have done it. That is a supernatural opportunity for all old soul wounds to pass away and for you to step into a new level. It's the year of the new level, our next level. That's an opportunity for you to set that in place, set things in order. So make sure that you sign up right out in the foyer for that. We also have Battle of the Sexes tonight with our young adults group, Awaken Young Adults. Tonight is 6 p.m. How many of you are going to that tonight? I don't know. I'm rooting for the ladies, of course. Ladies, can I hear all the ladies that are going to win it tonight? Yeah, come on. We'll just leave that right there. Okay. So we have that happening tonight. Also, we would love to remind you that on February 24th, we will have one service at 10 a.m. Turn to your neighbor and say, one service. Turn to your other neighbor and say, 10 a.m. And turn around and say, February 24th. Great, great opportunity. Again, grabbing hold of every opportunity that we have to be changed by the power of the Holy Spirit. I'd like to invite Pastor Obi up. He's going to bring our tithes and offerings.
Good morning, people of God. Y'all had two more hours of sleep than the rest of us, so I need to see y'all be a little bit more excited for that, all right? So let's try that one more time. Good morning, people of God. Yes, yes, yes. This is the day the Lord has made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it. And in this time of worship, we want to move on to our time of tithes and offerings. So if you would like an envelope, can you just slip your hand up in the air? Our amazing ushers will be coming through the aisle right now to hand one to you. As you prepare your offering, I just want to share with you quickly from the Bible, specifically Genesis chapter 7 and chapter 8. All right, so let's go back to Sunday school. Who remembers the story of Noah and the ark and the flood? Awesome, awesome. Come on now, keep your hand up so I can see. Perfect, perfect. So who remembers while in Sunday school you were taught that the animals went in two by two? Who remembers that? Well, your Sunday school teacher was wrong. I know, they were wrong. If you look in the book of Genesis chapter 7, the Bible says that there were two unclean animals that went in two by two, but there were also seven clean animals, okay? So say seven. Say seven. All right, if you think I'm lying, go check your Bible. Genesis chapter 7, okay? There were two unclean and there were seven clean. So the Bible is very specific. So we have to understand why did God make that happen, right? So the Bible now says that all the animals went in. No, Noah and his family, they all go into the ark. God closes the door and boom, flood. It is crazy. It is wild. Everything is wiped out. Then after a period of time, the water now recedes. Noah and his family and all the animals, they come off of the ark, and Noah has this privilege to start to replenish the earth. But then in Genesis chapter 8, something phenomenal happens. The Bible says that Noah takes those seven clean animals, say clean. Noah takes the seven clean animals and makes a sacrifice of an offering to the Lord. And then after that sacrifice, the Bible says that it was such a sweet-smelling aroma to the Lord that the Lord now turns around and gives a covenant that you and I know, that Noah, I will never again, ever in the history of mankind, flood the entire earth. We love the blessing, amen? Amen. Come on, don't be churchy with me. We love the blessing, amen? Amen. Somebody raise their hands like this. Come on, Tammy. Yeah, girl. We love the blessing, but I want to teach you this. That the blessing did not come until the offering was released. And the Bible did not say that Noah took any seven animals. He took the seven clean animals. And the Lord wants me to share this with you, that if you will give your best offering today, that God will release the impossible blessing into your life. If you will release your best offering today, not what is left over, not what is stale, not what is put off to the side, but if you will release your best today, you can hold God at his word and watch him do the impossible in your life. It was an impossible covenant given to Noah that never again will God do it. And I want to challenge you today that with your best offering, there will be a blessing put over your life that man cannot do anything against. The Bible says that with that covenant, the curse that would try to come upon mankind again, God was going to pull it back. How awesome is that? That the offering blocked the curse. Who loves that? That the offering is going to give you supernatural favor. Come on, who loves that? That the offering will give you divine access. That whatever you have been praying, there will be an acceleration for that prayer. I believe that today can be the day you can begin to receive breakthrough. I believe that today will be the day that no more sickness will dare come against your family. That everything that's been held up, every door, every window, even every wall that man has tried to build against you, it can be broken today with your best offering. I believe that. So if you're ready to give your best offering, air, If you give by phone, put your phone up in the air. If you don't have anything, that's okay. Put your hand up. This is going to be a prophetic declaration that this will be the last week you will not have anything. And starting next week, you will have the best offering. Amen? And if you want to do text to give, after we begin to declare, there will be a number that will be up on the screen. If you're watching online, you can give as well. So who's ready? With your best offering, let's declare this. Say, if I obey, then I'm blessed going in, and I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse, and I'm blessed in my basket. That the blessings are chasing me down. They've tripped me up, because I'm a child of God. Say, I'm a child of God. Now, with everything you have, don't just say this next line. Let it be a declaration over yourself, over your family, over this week, over this church, over everything that you come in contact with. Let this next line be a prophetic declaration. You ready? Shout, I'm blessed. Say, I'm blessed. Come on, one more time. I'm blessed. If you're ready, you can come down and begin to release your offering. And we're so excited that with your best offering, God will release the impossible into your life.
Thank you, Jesus.
All right, good morning, everyone, and welcome. And welcome to today's episode of How Not to Do That. I'm your host, Aaron. And in today's episode, we'll be learning how not to witness to people who don't know Jesus. In our first example, we have Josh. Josh has been attending the church for about 12 years now and wants to see everyone go to heaven, no matter what the cost. Let's see how he witnesses to Dustin.
Hey!
My name's Dustin.
Dusty?
Yeah.
All right. My name is Mr. Graham Stone. And I just wanted to tell you with all the kindness and love in my heart, you're going to hell.
I'm going to hell.
Sir, you standing right here going to hell.
like right now, is it?
Sir, if you're going to try to sit here and make an excuse and tell me that you don't live your life with an aim for the flame,
okay, can I ask? Can I ask one question? How?
No, why? No, you're going to hell, son. Come back, turn around.
Bye, Mr. Brimstone.
As you can see, that was not very effective, and Dustin is completely turned off to the gospel. Now, in our next example, we have Dustin. Dustin is a newly saved Christian who really wants to be a witness for the Lord. Let's see how he himself reaches out to our friend, Cole.
Make eye contact. contact with sin. Have you ever wondered your purpose in life?
No.
So have I. I used to wonder all the time before I met Jesus, have you ever heard of the gospel?
Well, that was awkward.
So, tracts can be very useful in ministering the gospel, but make sure you know what they say before you go reading them in front of someone. In our next example, we have Mackenzie. Mackenzie is the patron saint in her local church. She's been there since the dawn of creation and wants you to know about it. Let's see how she witnesses to our friend Joshua.
Whoa, 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 whoa. You know, I'm hearing from the Spirit right now, and Yahweh is telling me that you haven't eaten his body or drank his blood.
What?
You know what? I just don't think you understand right now, but just listen to me. The anointing's all over you. So just lift your hands and get ready to receive the spiritual impartation. As you can see, I'm gifted. You know what? Let me just see the spiritual scales that are on your eyes. I can almost see them in the flesh. Good God.
Wow. Mackenzie sure knows her Bible.
Now, as we can see, she used such terminology that Josh didn't know what she was saying. All right. In our next example, we have Cole. See, Cole is 18 and 19 and ready to venture into that next step of his life, a relationship. Let's see how he reaches to Deidre.
Oh. Oh, Lord. She's hot. Like, send your husband to the front line hot. God, if you get her saved, can she please be my wife? Like, please? We'll make this happen. We'll make this happen. Let's see. All right, let's go get this.
Hey, so I was reading in the book of Numbers, you know. You ever read that?
I think so.
Yeah, yeah. So I got through it and I realized that, you know, your number's not in it. What's your name, by the way?
I'm Deidre.
My rib? I mean, you can just call me Boaz or Cole. Boaz, either. Hey, what are you doing tonight?
Okay, guys, let's not do that. As we all know, the flirt-to-convert method never works, so don't do that. Now, this will be a good example of how to reach out to someone. How are you doing today, sir?
Great, great, great.
What's your name?
Cole.
Cole, what do you do for fun around here?
Nothing.
That's pretty lame. Do you like to have fun, though?
I do.
Do you like to hang out with people about your age and do fun things?
I do.
Like play trivia games and show women that we're superior than them?
True.
Well, tonight at 6 o'clock at His Tabernacle Church, we're having a young adults group, and you should totally come check it out.
You know what? That sounds like a good idea.
All right. We'll see you there, buddy.
All right.
And as you can see, ministering doesn't have to be hard, but we'll see you next time on How Not to Do That.
By the way, tonight, if you are 18 to 30, you are more than welcome-ish. It's the battle of the sexes, and it's going to be great. I'm not allowed to be here since I'm old. Amen. This is the year of... That really sounded confusing to me. I said, this is the year of next level. How many of you are already seeing God drawing you up to another place in your walk with the Lord? It's been a great year already, and we're only in February. We are in February, right? Yeah, February. And it's a great year to watch how God changes our lives. Just like last year, the year of divine connections. How many of you saw God bring divine connections in your life that changed your life? You see, every year is a prophetic word from God for the body. And we've got to pay attention because you can actually miss what God is doing. What I love about this theme and what God spoke to me way back in the fall in my tree stand as I was archery hunting, he said, I want you to do this next year as the year of the next level. And then I found out later, probably a month and a half later, the bishop down in Florida is preaching the same thing. My pastor friend out in Idaho is preaching the same thing. Our friend down in Texas is preaching the same thing. All the way up, all the way over to Nigeria, Africa, preaching the same thing with Brother Oyedepo. How is that possible? Because it's the same spirit that is speaking to his entire church. God has something for us, and that is the year of the next level. It's time to mature, grow up, and do greater things for Jesus. Can I hear an amen? So this year, it's exciting because we get to see how God is going to draw us to a new place. Now, I want you to know what you're going to learn today, and I want you to say this with me. Increased faith is the key to my next level. Come on, this is what you're going to learn today. By the end of this day, you're going to learn this. Increased faith is the key to my next level. Faith is everything. Now, the verse we're using for the year is found in Philippians chapter 3, 12 through 14, and it says this: I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I've already reached perfection or maturity, but I press on. Shout that out loud. I press on. It doesn't say he reaches behind, but he presses on. It's time to move forward in your walk with God. We've been talking, and we had a big mountain up here, 16-foot mountain. Can't thank the SWAT team enough for building that, because that gave a phenomenal visual of us climbing to the summit. And the summit is simply reaching more of Jesus, knowing Christ, living with him, having a relationship with him. The greatest thing that you can acquire is your relationship with Jesus Christ. Everything else on this earth is going to disappear, dissipate. It's slowly going to dwindle away, but there's one that's going to last forever, and that is your relationship with the Lord Jesus. That is what is eternal. Can I hear an amen? Amen. So the Bible says we've got to press on. We showed in this, when we had the mountain up there, we showed how there were different base camps and how everybody starts somewhere. It's called salvation. How many of you are glad Jesus saved you? Amen. It's called salvation. We all start there, but it's not the end. Amen. Turn to someone and say, salvation is just the beginning, not the end. I press on. Now the Bible says, no, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past, looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on. In the same verse, I press on. That is showing us that we can't sit still. We can't just settle where we are. We've got to move forward in our walk with God. I have literally met people that have been born again 20 years that are less spiritually mature than somebody who's been born again 2 years. How many years you've been going to church, how many years it was since you accepted Christ, does not mean you're mature. Amen. When a person is willing to climb to their next level, when a person is willing to move on to where God wants to take them, your maturity level is not dependent on years, it's dependent on appetite. Those who hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Our appetite literally creates with us an environment and an atmosphere for God to educate us, to bring us to the levels of the Spirit that somebody who simply wants to go to heaven and sit back on their laurels is not going to move forward in the kingdom of God. It's time that the body of Christ reaches forward. We press on, stop hanging on to our past, get away from the butt, and move on to what God has for you. Can I hear an amen? You see, this is the passion of heaven. It's time to move to your next level. You know, the challenge with this is that it's always going to do one thing. When you first get saved, man, God spoils the new baby Christians. You know, if you ever want your prayers answered, find baby Christians. Because God spoils them. You know, if you're ma, dad, you know, you had your baby, you're holding your baby, baby cries, what do? You know they need something. What do they need? They're going to poop, they're going to eat, or you just might need a pacifier. Maybe they need some sleep. I don't know. I stayed away from that part of the children's lives. But the fact comes down to is they have specific needs. And the ma, watch, ma. Ma's going to take care of all those needs, or daddy's going to take care of all those needs. He's not going to go, all right, now, do you really need some food? No. Get the kids some food. Can I hear an amen or am I? My grandson, Julian, eats like I ate when I was a child, not like I eat now. And that was, he survives on milk. And what's the cereal he likes? I think it's Trix. He likes Trix. Is that what it is? He likes Trix. He doesn't eat a lot. But, man, I tell you, when he's hungry, he eats. When you and I get hungry after the things of God, we're going to start maturing to our next level. The challenge with going to our next level, it's going to demand faith. Faith is the key to your next level. Faith is the key to everything that heaven has and how heaven operates. What happens is the body of Christ very rarely lives by faith. We live more by sight. The Bible says, I walk by faith and not by sight. Many people believe faith is this: I'll believe it when I see it. That's not faith at all. Faith is, I believe it's mine before I can tangibly see it done in the natural. Faith is different because faith is reaching out not into blind faith, into something that is nothing more than a philosophy, but we're literally attached to a living God, a supernatural God, the creator of the universe, the one who said, let there be and there was. He's not weak. His arm is not short. God is able to do abundantly above all you could even ask or imagine. We're not talking about weakness. We're not talking about a church. We're talking about our God. The challenge is when we're stymied in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, our faith struggles. Faith is synonymous with trust. You don't trust somebody immediately. There's a level of trust with them. But trust is matured because you have a relationship with them. The more you know them, the more you trust them or distrust them. Amen or oh my. The great part about God is faithful. In fact, Jesus is called faithful. That's one of his names. Faithful. Man, he will never promise something he will not come through with. Our God is abundantly able to do anything. There's nothing impossible for our God. You see, Jesus said, not one jot or tittle shall pass away before all the word comes to completion. He said, God cannot lie. You see, this is what I love so much about my relationship with him. And he is the summit, not going to heaven. Going to heaven is the cherry on top. But knowing him, walking with him, having a relationship with him, developing trust with him to where now you're not walking by sight, you're walking by faith. Walking by sight is a horrible experience. You can never be stable walking by sight. Why is that? Because circumstances change all the time. Troubles come down the pike all the time. Irritations happen all the time. Relationship problems are stimulated all the time. So what happens is when we're walking by sight, then our life is governed by what's happening around us, not by the consistency and the constancy called the Word of God and the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who has the ability to change the natural from the supernatural. You see, we have the ability to serve a God who loves us, who's for us, and if you earthly parents know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more the Heavenly Father knows how to give good gifts to His. You see, this is the challenge. The challenge is growing in faith. This is where a lot of people struggle. They don't want to grow in faith. They want enough of God to go to heaven, and that's about it. But I want you to know something, that faith is powerful. When you learn how to walk by faith, when you learn how to live by faith, when you learn how to believe, I'm talking believe. I'm not talking chant. I'm not talking quote. I'm not talking hope. I'm talking when you really have faith in God, there is nothing that you cannot accomplish. You have a confidence in Him that if you ask anything according to His will, He hears you and the answer is already on the way. It is not some philosophical church philosophy that we sit back and wonder if things are going to happen, but through the relationship we have with Jesus, we can trust Him that if His word says it, it is yea and amen. This is the challenge, though, because everything we have from God comes by faith. You are saved by grace through faith. You're not saved because you're a nice person. You're not saved because you're sincere. You're not saved because mommy and daddy are. You're not saved because boyfriend or girlfriend are. You're saved only when you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now, I do know some folks have actually prayed salvation and Jesus has appeared to them. But the majority of believers had never had Jesus physically appear to them at the moment of their salvation. But that is okay, because you see, you and I, by the Holy Spirit, the moment we confess Christ by faith, receiving what God said, then immediately the Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we are one with God. You see, faith stimulates and activates heaven's ability to motivate us to accomplish heaven's design. Faith is necessary. Faith is imperative for you and I to grow up in Christ, because we will always stay at base camp, just simple salvation, if we never step out on nothing to land on something. This is the challenge of our walk with the Lord, because until we make some decisions, we're always going to be living more by sight than by faith. We're going to be trusting in what we can accomplish. The Bible says in the book of Psalms, some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but I will trust in the name of the Lord my God. You see, his name is more than a name when you know the name. The name is more than a name when you know the man behind the name. You see, knowing God is everything. And everything we have from God is by faith. Our salvation, like I said, is by faith. Our healing is by faith. Jesus said multiple times, thy faith has made thee whole. Not faith in faith, but trust that if Jesus said it, it is so, no matter what it looks like. Say amen. Amen. And then we know we're baptized in the Holy Ghost by faith. We know that everything that God has for us is by faith. So our faith, literally, our next level of faith, our increased faith, literally will allow us to go to the next level in our walk with God. But many who do not want to walk by faith, but would rather walk by sight, I don't know, I don't understand it. Because there's this roller coaster that is so absolutely horrifying. Has anybody been on a bad roller coaster before? Now listen, now, back where I grew up, there was this place. What was that place called? It was in Fitchburg. Whalum Park. Dear Lord. You want to talk about a scary roller coaster? It wasn't scary because it had a lot of ups and downs. It was scary because it was an old wood one. When you went down over that first hump, which was pretty good, I wasn't sure if the whole thing was falling apart. I mean, you had a hard time believing in the structure. But when you serve God, you not run around by the structure of a world that is incompetent and unable to be consistent in our life. We're able to lay hold of the principles of the Word of God, and God's Word is above His name. That if God said it, you can rely upon it. God is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. You see, that's the difference between somebody who's wrapped up in religion, living a world of inconsistency, and a person who says, I love God, I'm going to grow in God, I'm going to grow in faith, and even though I go through trials and tribulations, it's just going to be like the three Hebrew boys in that old good furnace. When Nebuchadnezzar looked down, he said, I don't get this, but there's four in there, and one looks as if he's the Son of Man. I want you to know, no matter what you're going through, God is able to deliver you. God is able to meet your needs. God is able to bless you, because God loves you. But you can't have it without faith. You can't have it without faith. And this is the challenge. Amen. This is the challenge. The challenge is growing in faith. Now we know that faith is powerful and that everybody in this room has a measure of faith. Romans chapter 10. Each man has been given a measure of faith. We know that we need to increase our faith, because even the disciples who walked with Jesus, they said to Jesus, Jesus, increase our faith. We know Jesus said to some, O ye of little faith. He said to others, O ye of great faith. We know that Christ dealt with this trust factor because when people looked at him and didn't perceive him as another man, that's the challenge. You see, people's faith is dwarfed because they see God as another man rather than who he actually is. We've got to make a decision that God is God. And I'm not believing in a religious philosophy. He is truly the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is the Lord of all. There's nothing that my God cannot do. That shifts everything because then your trust goes from your capabilities, your hope, your shortened arms, and it activates heaven to where heaven can pour out the blessings. You see, this is the challenge with all of us. I don't care how many years you've been born again. There's always a next level of faith. And the challenge with our next level of faith, you and I are the ones who make the decision whether we're going or whether we're staying. That's, again, why somebody can be born again 50 years and be less mature than a three-year-old. I got another verse for you. I want to read it to you. You don't mind if I teach you a little bit this morning, do you? Numbers chapter 13, 31 and 30 through 33 says this. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are able." Shout, "We are able." Shout, "We are able." "For we are able to overcome it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are." And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people from whom we saw it are men of great stature. We saw the giants, the descendants of Anak came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight." So we were in their sight. There's two things happening here. Faith and fear. There's not six things happening. There's only two things happening. Caleb and Joshua walked in. There were 12 spies. Caleb and Joshua walked in there, and they saw the same exact things. Watch now. They saw the giants. They saw the powerful armies. They saw what would seem to man's eyes as impossibilities. But their report was different because they determined that they were going to believe what the word of the Lord said over what they saw. They saw bad. But what God said was, "That's yours. That's your promised land. I promised it to Abraham. I'm promising it to you. I delivered you from Egypt, 430 years in bondage. And now I'm going to travel you just a few weeks. And I'm going to bring you to a land that is filled with milk and honey. It's the land of promise. It's the land of blessing. I promised to give it to you." But yet, there was another report that came. 10 of them. Isn't it interesting? Some of you hang around believers you need to get rid of. They were all Israelites. 10 of them came back and said, "We can't take them. We can't do it. These people are from the giants. Don't you see how big their armies are? There's no way for us to do what you say we can." So what they were saying to God was, "Roger, God, you are a liar. You are a weak, incapable God who doesn't have the ability to do what you've called us to do." Now, none of us would say that out of our mouth, but we actually will live that out of our life. You see, Caleb and Joshua, they saw God deliver them out of Egypt. They saw God open the Red Sea. They saw God turn bitter water to sweet. They saw God provide manna at the doorsteps of the Israelites every single morning. They saw God open the rock that watered over 2.5 million people and every single one of the animals. They watched God do that. They watched the supernatural manifest in their life. Ah, that's a powerful thing. When you're not born again, you can only live in the natural. But when you are born again, you are a spiritual person. And you have all of heaven's access available to you. You see, you are a strange, unique individual. You are a stranger in a strange land because God has called you sons and daughters, heirs of God, joint heirs of Jesus. You are not the same as the rest of the people walking on the planet. You have more authority. You have more power. But watch now. The other 10 saw God deliver them from Egypt. They saw God open the Red Sea. They saw the bitter water turn to sweet. They saw, come on now, they saw the manna at the doorstep every morning. They saw water come out of a rock, that water 2.5 million and all the animals. But yet they both had a different report. That's the challenge. Where the rubber actually meets the road is when trouble's troubling you, do you choose to walk by faith or do you choose to walk by sight? Do you choose to look at the natural and say, there's nothing I can do, there's no way I can make it, oh my goodness, everything's falling apart, the doctor's report, there's no recourse for me, my marriage is struggling, my relationships, my children, that's what the 10 said. Or do you choose to be a Joshua and a Caleb? You see, this is where faith lies. Faith lies on the threshold of our door. And we are the ones who determine whether we will walk by faith or we will walk by sight. And you're saying, well, I don't have enough faith. Then start feeding in the Word of God. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. The Word of God is alive and quick. The Word of God is life to us. The Word of God builds faith. Listen, if you need more faith, you need to be in the Word more. That's why the enemy works so desperately keeping you out of church. That's why the Word of God, the devil works so desperately to keep you from your devotions. Because the less faith you have, the only thing you can trust is your flesh. And let's be straight up, man. We all know this. If we could do it, we wouldn't need God. So faith is everything. And here we have literally two paradigm principles that are being declared. We have to make a choice. And this, come on, this is, here's bottom line. If you don't have trouble, you'll never stretch your faith. What? I went to church to get encouraged. You mean hell's going to be licking my toes? Si, señorita. You mean I'm going to have trials and tribulations? Absolutely. Without them, your faith will never grow because you'll always be looking behind. You'll never trust God more if you can do it yourself. You'll never believe in the supernatural manifestation of God's power and provision if you can do it all by your own. That's why James says, count it all joy when you fall into different trials and tribulations. Because they produce, and he gives a whole list of production. What's the production? The production is that you're going to grow up in Christ and start walking more by faith than walking by sight. You're going to learn that you have the ability to tap into the supernatural because that's who dwells inside of you. That you are not some weak Christianette that needed a crutch and that's why you go to church. But you have the Son of God dwelling inside of you. The Lion of the tribe of Judah. The devil runs and wimps out because the God inside of you is stronger than him. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. But God can't take you there but by faith. It's the challenge. Now, I've been saved over 30 years now, and I want you to know that the trials that come in my life are different from the trials of a brand new Christian. Well, why is that? Come on, like I was talking about the baby. After a while, when your four-year-old or five-year-old or seven-year-old walks up to mommy and says, I'm thirsty, you're not going to breastfeed right there. Amen. You're going to say, You know, you got a sippy cup in the fridge. There's maturation. You're not going to stay coddled to your mother's teat for the rest of your life. There's levels of maturity that happen to where now you've got to go and you're going to get a bottle. Then you're going to get a sippy cup. Then you're going to have a cup that's half full because you know it's going to go all over you. But after a while, when you turn 30 years old, if you're still grabbing a sippy cup, Jesus breaks every fetter. Come on now. This is what I want you to do this week, just for fun. I want you to bring a sippy cup to a restaurant and have them fill it up. And watch the stares, because they think you're crazy. Because some of you are 60 years old and you're sucking on a sippy cup. When I was in high school, do you know what was really big? All these kids were walking around with pacifiers. I remember the pacifier movement. I said, I never got in that movement. Because I said, something's wrong. Not supposed to be. This is where I'm talking. That maturation in the spirit. We've got to start growing up in Christ. But that means we're going to have trials and tribulations in our lives. That means we're going to get stretched. That means we're going to be looking at the promised land where God wants to bring us. And it's not going to be a perfect entry. We're going to have to trust him that if he told us to go there, he told us that he would take care of us. He told us he would bless us. He told us he would heal us. He told us he would fill us. He told us he would protect us, that we will stand by faith and we will not allow fear to enter in, but we'll walk in the principles and the power of God and we'll call those things which are not as though they already were. Here's the horrible part. Those 10 changed the destiny for 2.5 million people. Every decision that we make against faith brings our children into struggle because they're parenting us. And if we're not going to walk by faith, how are they going to walk by faith? Come on now. Then your friend comes to you and says, listen, I've been diagnosed with this disease. They said there's no hope for me. What am I going to do? Well, you know, we had a lady came to this church at one point in time. And when she came, she had shingles. She was probably in her mid to late 40s with shingles. Like, she didn't just have shingles. She had shingles down her throat. Exactly. They had her on, steroids and trying to kick this thing out of her. And well, she went to a church that actually taught her that sickness was from God, that whatever happens in your life, you just got to accept it as from the Lord. Well, I'm sorry, God will never use what he delivered you from on the cross against your life. He'll never use sin against you, James chapter 1, for God can tempt no man with evil. He'll never use sickness against you, because if he does that, then how is it by his stripes you were healed, not are healed? And he'll never use poverty in your life, because Christ came to destroy poverty. Whenever I see those three things come into my life, I don't take a passive position. I take an authoritarian position, and I bind the devil who's come to bring an assignment against my life. I want you to know those three things God will never use in a trial and tribulation. He can make all things work together for good, but he'll never use them. But the truth is, we're going to have trials. Some of you have been doing the same trials for 10 years. Because every time you go to it, you choose not to pass. And that is a challenge for us. Because God will never take us to our next level if we can't pass the last one. There was this movement in school for a while. That was no kid left behind. They actually passed children all the way through high school that couldn't read or write. And what's horrible about that is that you've just destroyed that child. Well, we don't want them to feel bad about themselves. Really? What do you think is going to happen when they can't count out change? Because the world is not nice. Amen or oh my. In the kingdom, what happens is if we choose not to learn our last lesson, we don't go to the next lesson. And that's what happened to the children of Israel. They went around that same mountain for 40 years. Because 10 people decided to convince them that God was unable to do what he promised. That's why the people you hang with determine the level you will acquire. Oh, say that one more time. The people you hang with determine the level of faith you will acquire. Oh, I can prove it to you. They actually did a study on physiology. And what they did was they took a person that was very confident. And for about 2 hours, people would go up to them and they would talk negative to them. They would tell them that they were weak or that they had weaknesses and that they weren't as good as they thought they were. And they said within 2 hours, literally, their shoulders were slumped. You see, what's on the inside shows on the outside. You see, if you're around people that aren't filled with faith, that aren't going to speak faith to you when you're going around your mountain, when you're looking at your promised land, man, you need to be wise because you need people of faith around you. Listen, I'm talking believers. You need to get rid of some of the believers around you. When my wife was going through that trial, when she was going through the cancer, we knew it was demonic. We didn't blame God. We didn't say it was God's will. But let me tell you, I preached 4 sermons from this pulpit while we were going through it, and none of you knew we were going through it. Why? Because we wouldn't allow the faithless people to walk up to my wife and say, oh, I hope you're feeling better. We don't need your sympathy. We need faith. Faith moves mountains, not sympathy. We've got to make decisions in our lives because if we're going to go to our next level is not going to come until we're going to be people of faith. He's going to stretch you. That means you're going to get uncomfortable. And some of you, we're 19 already, February 10th already, so we're almost a month and a half into this. And some of you have not had been stretched at all this year. And you need to know that's not a compliment to you. Now watch, there are times of reprieve. There are times that after a hard trial, God will just give you a good breath to get your feet settled again. But he doesn't keep you there for 3 years. It's like keeping somebody in first grade for 3 years. They're not a super senior. They're a super, 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 super senior. I don't know about you. I hate feeling uncomfortable. I hate that my faith gets stretched. I hate the fact that at times it's on, you know, God, I need you to move quicker. I need you. I want you to move quicker. I need to see greater results. And God is saying, will you still trust me? Will you still trust me? Will you still trust me? Practical. We had a snowstorm here. We canceled church. Now, Saturday afternoon, we had already canceled church. We had church here that morning. 400 people come out, which I thought was phenomenal. That afternoon, I got 3 other pastors calling me. What do we do? What do we do? What do we do? What do we do? Locals. And I knew why they were calling. Because they don't have a lot of folks in their church, and they got to pay their bills. Amen. The kingdom still goes on even when you're not here. Amen. And so I gave them some advice, and we started praying because we knew that, you know, most people, when they miss that week's tithe, they're not going to make it up. Well, that's very interesting when you're in a church when you have $500,000 in the bank, but we'd spend it. So, I mean, we don't have $500,000 in the bank. We do. We just spend everything on people, man. This church is such a giving church. We do so much for the community. I was all the way in Ithaca last night, and people were coming up to me and saying, thank you so much for your television program. It changed my life. That's because we do that here. Well, that week, man, it was great. I was excited. Half tithes and offerings came in on the Saturday. I was exhilarated. And I'm thinking, man, people are going to send some finances in, and that's awesome. But you see, the fact was is that it didn't happen. And I think we were $5,000 or $7,000 less that week in tithes and offerings. Well, listen, we don't have a beer tent. So I have a choice. I either have to trust God, not you. I either have to see God come through, or I'm going to be worried about money. And I don't know about you, there's nothing worse than worrying about money. Fastest ulcers you can get. And my wife and I learned through many past trials, and this is truth, that even on that week, we just simply looked at each other and said, ah, God's got it. Don't know how it's going to happen. That's not my business. It's not my business how he's going to pull it off. Man, I don't know, man. Peter and him needed to pay some taxes, so what'd Jesus say? Go rob somebody. Oh, he didn't say it. I'm sorry. He said, go fishing. The first fish you catch, open its mouth. There's enough money in there to pay your taxes and mine. Listen, I want you to realize that with God, there's nothing impossible. But you see, what activates the impossible is faith. Because if Peter had never gone fishing, he still would be owing taxes. Question is, not is God able, but are you actually willing to trust him? And it all gets back to relationship. Because the closer you are to him, the more enormous he becomes. The further away you are, the smaller he is. It's like taking a set of binoculars, looking the correct way, it brings it closer. Flipping in the opposite way, oh, you can still see him, but he's pequito. Our next level is this year. Our next level as individuals, our next level as church, as the body of Christ. The next level in your personal vision that God has destined for you, and the next level for this house. It's all right before us. God's already seen it. He's already made it happen in the spiritual realm. It's already completed. But God isn't going to give us anything that we're not going to go after. I press on. 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 I'm not looking behind. I'm pressing on. I'm pressing on. I'm pressing on. You see, I've got something before me that the back will not hold and will not succeed with. I've got to press on to Christ. I've got to have faith in Christ. If God said it, it is so. And I don't care what anybody says. Listen now, people have called me. They call me a lot of things. But people have called me cocky. They've called me overconfident. They've called me, what's the other one? Arrogant. Call me all those things. But there's one thing. If you get around me, you want to know what you're going to find? I am a little cocky. I'm not cocky in myself because I realize I screw up my life pretty easy. But I am cocky with my God. Because I know there's nothing he can't do. I've proven it. I've seen too many miracles. I've spent too much time with him. I'm climbing to the summit, baby. And the closer I get, the bigger he becomes. Your next level is before you. Will you climb? Or will you keep grabbing behind? Oh, by the way, wherever you are is still where your faith level resides. No matter what house, no matter what job, no matter what relationship, no matter what location, nothing really changes anything. Except you. God's already changed it. He's just waiting for you to activate it. That's why it always makes me fun. I hate Elmira. Dude, you can live in the Bahamas and you're catching up to yourself. It's not too far off. Your faith levels are still the same in the Bahamas as it is in Elmira. Mm-hmm. Amen. You are the problem, not God. So the issue is this. Where's your faith level? Some of you have actually recanted in some of your faith. You once believed God and you thought he didn't move quick enough one time, so you did it yourself. You got a mess. When you got a mess, you then blame God for your mess. Listen, God don't make messes. He cleans them. So where is your faith? Where's your level of faith? Each one of us different. But if each one of us will press on, we'll inspire somebody around us. I just got to say this and I'll be done. Faith is catchy. It really is. That's like when I pray for people around the altar. I don't just start with person number one. I wait till you can see faith. Oh, you didn't know that? Jesus saw faith, and the disciples saw faith. Faith can be seen. When you get around a person of faith, you feel this. You feel the draw. So when I'm praying for people, I don't just start with number one. What I try to do is I find the draw of faith. I find the person who has faith, and I'll pray for them because I know that faith with expectancy produces miracles. I'll pray for them. God will touch them. I'll make sure people around them know that. And guess what happens? All of a sudden, faith is just like electricity. And you'll see miracles activated because one was stimulated. The challenge is, where's your faith? Where's your faith? And who have you chosen to surround yourself with? The 10 spies or Joshua and Caleb? Because, and you can blame me for this, you're getting ready to go through a trial this year because I'm praying for it for you. You're welcome. I'm praying God's going to bring you through a trial this year that you can't handle. Why? So you need him again. Some of you hadn't needed God in a long time. You need Jesus. You need Jesus. So I'm going to pray for you. Is that all right? Father, I'm praying that you'll bring us all into a place of tribulation. No. I heard you. I heard it in the spirit. No. Lord, those that have already just come through one in the beginning of January that have overcome, I thank you that you're going to give them a rest during this time. But Lord, all the rest, I pray in Jesus' name that you will stretch us, make us uncomfortable. We know you won't use what you accomplished on Calvary against us. But Lord, when the trial and tribulation of normal life comes our way, for rain falls on the just and the unjust and the like, I pray, God, we will not look at what we can see, but Jesus, we will look to you, the author and the perfecter of our faith. We will call upon the name of the Lord. We will get into your word and build our faith. And Lord, we'll trust you more because we'll see you more. We'll not seek your hand, we'll seek your face. That we will know you in the power of your resurrection and in the fellowship of your suffering. Jesus, don't let us destroy ourselves or give ourselves excuses to not go to our next level of faith. With everyone's head bowed and their eyes closed, this morning, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'm not asking you to join a church. I'm not asking you to join a religion. I'm asking you to know Jesus. I'm asking you to start the adventure with Christ, that you can see him, know him, walk with him, talk with him, have faith, and know that God is able to do abundantly above all you could even ask or imagine. A relationship with the King of Kings where he'll call you son, he'll call you daughter, he'll call you heir, he'll call you joint heir. Today, if you would like to receive Jesus as your Savior, I'd like you to slide your hand up right now. Is there anyone in the room I know it takes a little bravery, but you'll be all right. God says, if you confess me before man, I'll confess you before my Father. This morning, if you would like to receive Christ as your personal Savior, I'd like you to slide your hand up right now. Is there anyone in the room? 5. Come on, get your hand up. 4. There you go, honey. I like the little children raising their hands. Why wait till they're older? We have to go through the hell that we've created of ourselves. 5, 4, 3. Come on, get your hand up. 2. Last call. Thank you. And 1. Let's all stand to our feet. Today, I'm just excited for you. I'm excited because I know that this, even though this next stretch is in front of you, baby, you're going to come through smelling like roses. You're going to come through and walk into the promised land. You're going to come through in victory, because if God is for you, who can be against you? And I want you to know there's faith people all the way around you. There's people that we got, an amazing pastoral staff who will pray with you, agree with you, stand with you. That means even at times when you start to waver, you don't have to fall, because someone will be right there to grab you. Amen. You don't have to live this life alone. Glory to God. I'm going to have the prayer team come to the front of the altar this morning. Quickly. If you're struggling in your trial and you just need someone to agree in prayer with you, these folks know how to pray. They know how to call those things which are not as though they already are. They know how to activate heaven so that with you together, two touching one thing, it shall be done. And today, if you're not going through your trial yet, I'd start reading the Word. I'd start reading Matthew chapter 5. Start right there. Just start devouring. Saying, Lord, build my faith. Because you know it's coming. I'm praying for you. And if it gets too difficult, don't be proud. Did you hear what I said? Don't be so proud that you aren't willing to ask for someone of faith to walk with you through. Amen? I said amen. 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 Father, I speak blessing to this house in the name of Jesus. I declare our faith level is going to go right through the roof. I declare, God, we're going to live like we've never lived before. I declare, God, we're going to trust you, know you, walk with you, talk with you like we've never done before. I thank you, God, we're going to call those things which are not as though they already are. And what seems to be collapsing around us, Lord, will be shored up by the heavenly hands of God's heavenly glory. In Jesus' name, bless us as we go. In Jesus, and everybody shouted, I love you. Serve God with all of your heart. Listen, tonight, don't forget, if you're 18 to 30-ish, make sure you hear it at Awaken tonight. You don't want to miss it.